I just had the Moedig Maisa, Biaka Kalinsky. I must share it with you. I just literally just heard it now. I never heard this story. Biaka Kalinsky, apparently, he had this enormous amount of beautiful, important stories. He said he witnessed firsthand. Biaka Kalinsky was for a period of time, I don't know how long, he was himself in Siberia. He was sent to be, I don't know how long for, and I don't know which years it was. He can be, I'm sure he can be checked. I don't know exactly what Kufa was, but he was sent to Siberia. Do you remember Yakov Kalinsky?
Yeah.
He was, pardon?
In Bnei Brak.
In Bnei Brak, that's right, yeah. I remember him coming to Edgware, actually. He came to Edgware once. I remember clearly. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's, yeah, probably, yeah. And he came a few years. Do you remember when he came? Was must be about, probably a bit more than that. Must be probably more like, probably about 10 years ago, so yeah. Do you remember? He was in Israel already for a few years. So, so apparently when he was in the camp, they were all in one of those work camps. He had a fellow inmate that they were in little cells, and they tried to sleep if they could, or most of them weren't even able to sleep because of the it was so freezing cold, and it was the dilapidated. It was. The circumstance was so, but there was one person in the cell where Biaka Kalinsky was sleeping. There was one individual that, as they went to bed, he waited a couple of hours, and eventually, this individual always got out of bed, sneaked out of bed, and you'd quickly get dressed for a minute or two in dark, and then get undressed again and go back to bed. And he did that not just one night, but every single night. He would wait until it was pitch dark, until the soldiers and the guards had vanished, and he would quickly sneak out of bed, get dressed, and quickly stand in front of the mirror for a minute, and then get undressed and quickly go back to bed. And do that every single night. He would do that, and the Americans, he couldn't understand why was he doing that. What on earth is he doing? And he couldn't stop wondering what was this action all about. Okay, one day they were by a call out, they were standing next to each other, and actually they walked next to each other, and then he asked him, he said, "Well, I know every night you get dressed and you get," and he denied it. He said, "Come on, I know you. Every night you get out of bed, you get dressed. Well, what do you do that for?" Until he pushed him and pushed him and pushed him until eventually he was explaining what he was doing. He said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, I am a Polish, ex-Polish general. And we all know how much the hated the Polish. It was that not normal animosity, absolutely abnormal animosity. They hate. He said, I'm a prisoner over here because I was a Polish general. And that's where I ended up over here in Siberia. And because I was quite a high-ranking official in the army, so I had thousands of soldiers under me. And now they degrade me, because I was a high-ranking soldier in the Polish army, so they degrade me and they abuse me in an absolutely unprecedented way. Every day I go through this, not this degrading... abuse and this hatred that they go through every single day, and because of my seniority, they make extra effort to push me down to the unprecedented levels. And he said it's very hard for me to put it through, and therefore, I want to just in order for me to survive, I need to remind myself that actually, no, I am a Polish, I am. The level of a Polish general, I am that kind of person. Otherwise, I'd feel like a rat. And therefore, I go every night, I go and I still have an old uniform, which I still kept. And I go, and I quick, when everybody's sleeping, I quickly get dressed and I stand in front of the mirror whilst I'm wearing that uniform. And that makes me feel, oh, I'm a general indeed. And that, although just a second, I go in front of the mirror, and that reminds me that I am that kind of league, I am that kind of person. I put it away, and that gives me the power to get through the strength to get through the next day. And Biaka Kalinsky, well, that's quite a story. And when he made it through the Siberia, his own years and his own agony, his own solace, he made it through the, he realize that this is an actual, if this is true for a Polish general, we are constantly pushed down from our surrounding, from the societies, and we live in the, sometimes in the level of the way Yaakov Kalinsky, how exposure makes us push ourselves down. We often forget that we're B'nai Melachim, as the Mishnah says, we're B'nai Melachim, we're princes, and we keep forgetting that because of our constant exposures that we have. And it's good for us sometimes to remember that we're B'nai Melachim. And if we could just sometimes put uniform on and then take it off and stand in front of the mirror whilst you're wearing that, that would be a tremendous chizik for us. And he said that perhaps the tefillin is that uniform. The tefillin is considered a keser, like a crown, and that perhaps that's a uniform to remind us every now and then that we are B'nai Melachim indeed. These are the words of I gave me a lot of chizik. Okay, we have to Siman Tov Nun Aleph Sif Chof Beis. Back for Kalinsky. Isn't that amazing, no? He's got such amazing stories. Sif Chof Beis. Siman Tov Nun Aleph Sif Chof Beis. Right. Okay, we're still in Lechaz Agola. And halach is as follows. Kol ha-kelim, any kelim, afilu shel cheres, even if it's made out of cheres earthenware. Shenishtamesh b'hem chometz betzoinon, that was used for chometz, cold chometz. So earthenware, which was used for chometz, cold. Motel ishtamesh b'hem matzah, afilu b'chamin, you can use them for matzah. Now that's something I don't think anybody will feel comfortable doing. A keli, even earthenware, which was used for chametz, provided it was called chametz, you can use that very keli for matzah. Fancy that? Would you do that? I don't think it.
Then he used to sweep out his bread bin and use it for matzah.
And really, I didn't know that. Sounds very interesting. I don't know. Very interesting. Well, Shulchan Aruch says you can. Chutz mi beis sa'oir u beis charoses. Now, beis sa'oir, we have touched on this a couple of times earlier. Beis sa'oir is a place which was used, as Mishnah Berurah says, if gotten kuf, chav, vav, three lines from the bottom. Chutz mi beis sa'oir, hainu kli, sha'isha shoir beis sa'oir. This is a keli, a vessel which is used, which the women will use it for the sourdough for fermentation. You take it for a few days. You take some dough and you would use for fermentation process with potentially other doughs as well. Litznoy leisa, to put it in the dough. You'll have very strong sour dough which will remain in that keli for numerous days. Umachmas, and since shechimutzoy kosher, since the chometz, the chometz is very strong and intense, and therefore nivla tamoy, its taste is absorbed beoisoy kli, is absorbed in the kli afilu betzoyin, although it's cold. So we've got to be an exception. This is one of the few existing exceptions that something which can be a cold keli, but nevertheless will have absorbed chometz, a beis sa'oir, a keli which was used for the chimutz, for the fermentation process of doughs. Do we have anything equivalent nowadays? I wonder. Does anybody make challahs at home? I don't know if you have got any wives make the challahs at
home.
Perhaps the kneading bowl. I was thinking about the kneading bowl. Perhaps it might not be so intense as the beis sa'oir, but it's probably quite close to that, because the Mishnah Berurah does say that it is for a few days. It's there for a few days. So, but it's something on those lines. Beis charoses is a similar kind of keli, which again there's a strong chimutz which will take place there for numerous days. That keli you may not use on Pesach, even if, although it was used for cold. Sha'afal pi, shalani, top of page 86, sha'afal pi shalani, shtamesh b'hem chometz elo b'tzayin, although it was used for cold only. Also, le'shtamesh b'hem matzah b'chamin, you may not use hot matzahs or any kosher Pesach item there, because the time will come out, and although it was used for cold, but these exceptional cases absorbed the chometz in a cold state. But although this beis sa'oir absorbed chometz in a cold state, nevertheless, now Pesach, you may still use it for cold
matzah. Why? Hot items you can't put in there. But a cold matzah you can still put in a base soil. Why? No blias. Because the rule is, blias cannot come out unless it's hot. If it's cold, blias cannot come out. So although the base oil was an exceptional case, that the blias got absorbed in a cold state, but without heat, it can't come out. So how will it come out? No, why? Oh, you mean in terms of Bali or Bali Motze?
They haven't put any hot on them, that's all, they haven't come
out. So what? Yeah, there's no Issa or Bali or Bali Motze on blias, correct. Correct. Absolutely. It must be, Shabu points out in numerous places, you've got to make sure, as you're pointing out, it's 100% clear. Yeah, clean. Yeah, so here, very good point. Of here, we must be talking a very, very valid point. This is a really valid point. Earlier, we were concerned that you can't actually clean it thoroughly. And we're very concerned about this. Here, it appears, I don't know why, it's a very good kasha, it's a really good horror. Here it appears that we can assume that it's going to be completely clean and we're not worried about any potential chametz pieces which may be lying around. I like your horror very much, but obviously we must be talking about that it must be completely clean. But to put the baked matzah, that's fine. I will also lolosh b'ayim, but certainly you are not allowed to knead in such a base oil. So, if you want to make your matzahs in a base oil, that's not a great idea. If you want to knead them there, try to find something else. I'm going to speak about it in a minute again in Mitzvah. Because the Beloy Hagolah is only if there's no Hagolah. But Avol Alide Hagolah. But if you do go through Hagolah process, you take one of those base soil, one of those chometz fermentation bowls, and you do solid, thorough Hagolah in it. Hafilu base soil vecheroises motorim, perfectly in order. You can do, if you do Hagolah, you can use it for anything you want. Hafilu mehem shalchez, if it's not ceramic, if it's not earthenware, whatever it may be, it's fine because you're doing a proper Hagolah, then it's fine. Avol shel cheres, loy mihani Hagolah. But if it is earthenware, then it's a problem. What's the problem with earthenware? Why can you not do Hagolah with earthenware? That's right, because we're not confident about that. You might not do it properly. So with regards to ceramic, you cannot do Hagolah, and even if it was used for cold, you can only use it for cold. And nowadays, the custom is to lo leishtamushe bepischa bemane tepach hatika. The Shulchan Aruch finishes off saying that nowadays the minig is the lo leishtamushe, we do not use bepischa on Pesach Bemane with Kalim, the Pach Hatika, which are old ceramic. Peres Klicheres Yishonim, old ceramic, we don't use on any circumstance on Pesach, because we can't kasher it, and we don't feel comfortable using it for cold either. So we don't use ceramic under any circumstances. Now, I want to just point out something. Let's just maybe finish the remark quickly. Let's finish the remark, the last line of the page. V'tanu shel beis ha-choref, if you've got a fireplace, tino ki klicheres, that's the halacha of a klicheres, ceramic, ve'osolosum shum davar la tanu be-pesach, and you don't put anything on the fireplace on Pesach because it's ceramic. That was quite common, that you had a fireplace, you'd put something to heat up the food on it, so don't, it was ceramic, so don't use it for heating up kosher Pesach food, because if you use it throughout the year, again, it's fireplace, you'd heat up something with it. You can't use it, this fireplace, for warming up Pesach foods, because you probably used it for warming up chametz, and therefore don't use it on Pesach. Now, there is a chumra which is a machloikas and everything, but those of you who eat, those of us who eat hand matzahs, it's particularly nogea. Hand matzahs baked, so the way they are baked on tables which are normally made out of metal. Now, do you have to do Haggala on those tables? Again, hand matzahs. We all witnessed hand matzahs being baked. Now, they're actually kneading. Okay, so after the water and the flour is, okay, you're kneading it, and then they are being made into matzahs on a metal table. Now, this table doesn't need to be kashered through Haggala or not.
What's it used for?
Nothing at all. It's not used for anything throughout the rest of the year. Why should it need kashering? You're saying, why should it need kashering? Why? Because it never becomes chometz. So why should you?
Because it's the matzah that was on there before has become chometz.
So let's say it's completely clean. It's been absolutely bleached, 100% clean. Not only that, but it was covered up with a plastic as well, and it's 100% clean. You know for a fact it's clean. Does it need to go through Haggala or not?
No.
So most poskim hold that you do not. Even some of the foremost poskim hold exactly to what you are saying. No reason to Haggala. Why do you need Haggala? Why do you need to? There are, however, shittas that hold, based on our Shulchan Aruch now, that there may be reason to kasher it. And in fact, they are very strict on that. And every time they want to bake matzahs, they insist to kasher the tables beforehand, even though it's perfectly clean. The reason being that it is comparable to our Shulchan Aruch, to a base soil. The comparison would be, do you like the comparison? The comparison would be that just like a beis ha'or is a dough that has been there for a while and therefore becomes like a heavy chim, you need to do Haggala. So similarly also, the tables, they want to argue, the tables also is like a beis ha'or. Dough was sitting in it for a while, and therefore it requires...
So the point is that
the person that's why I'm finding even... Yeah, I'm even finding it difficult to explain this chumah because of what you're saying. But that's where they're coming from. I'm mamish, I totally...
You'd have to take kashrut of kitchens and every year.
There's no dough there. You don't have dough lying there.
It's a chametz kitchen.
Where, if you have any other areas, if you would have any other areas in the kitchen that normally you'd have dough lying around there for a bit... Yeah... I mean, I would argue that probably in most bakeries you'll find areas which are considered base. So I don't know how bakeries work. There must be areas that is dough lying around for a while. That would be considered a base solid that you do need to...
For a year, also you don't have to go Haggala.
Pardon?
If you use something for a year, you also don't have to go Haggala.
What? Something which was for a year. That's... why do you say that? Because there's that the Chacham Tzvi of 1 year, then afterwards... Is that why the last day of Pesach, is that where you're coming from? It's, I don't know, it's not so, the Istak is such a shit. I don't know if it's Meker Adin though. The Istak is such a shit. I think it's a Cham Tzvi or Yaiva who holds like that. I don't know if it's Mamash Meker Aloch. You're saying that either way. So one thing, you're saying that according to that shit, till after 12 months. But it's already, the bleers are so moldy that it's no, yeah. Yeah, according to that shit, yeah, it's Chosid, it's Tawuf. Yeah, that's with regards to this tables and the base soil.
The soil implied that there's yeast in it.
It's
a very strong, it's got a much stronger sour, more sour.
As opposed to regular dough.
Where you're just flour and water, there's nothing else added.
Yeah, that's also a good point. That's also a very good point. Talichoyre, it doesn't have the same chimutz, then it's a very, very good svar. That base oil is a more. Mishnebutak, it does say, Shmachma shechimutzoi kosher, nivla tamo boise. I hear what you're saying. It's a very strong svar, that. Yeah. I don't know about that, but some people are makbid on that. Okay, Sif Chov Gimel, the final Sif for tonight. Klei Cheres, which is Klei Cheres are earthenware, ceramic, kelim, hametzupim, behituch, zchuchis, which are glazed, hametzupim, which are covered with behituch, zchuchis, with some glass. So that's not a modern invention. That's basically most of our plates are like that, right? I think a lot of our kitchenware is like that. They are ceramic, but they are glazed. I think pretty much. And that's why it's a shaila. Certainly with regards to Tvilas Kelim, because glass is
chayv tvila. Ceramic is not chayv tvila. So it's a shadow with regards to tvila's kelim, and that's a debate in its own right. But with regards to hagola, which we're discussing now, the Shulchan Aruch says, dinam kekli cheres. If you've got ceramic which is covered with glass, the aloch is like it's a kli cheres. Which means what? If it's got a glass coating, pardon? You can't do hagola. V'yesh mekoymos, in some places, shenoa gushla lishtamish bekli cheres glaziert, which means glazed. There are places that hold that you don't use kli cheres. Even you want, but the chum is only in a place where there is that minik. Not use clay cheres. If they are covered with a coating of glass, we do not do hagol on it, and that's, I think, pretty much a very common minik. Okay, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that kelim which have been used for cold, you can use for on Pesach. If it's only used for cold, you can use it on Pesach, excluding base oil, which absorbed chametz, despite that it was only cold. And but otherwise, something which was only used for cold, as long as it's completely clean, you can bet, in theory, you can use it on Pesach for cold. We learned generally though ceramic kelim are not used on Pesach, and we spoke about the fireplace which since that's hot, so don't use it for Pesach foods, because you must have used it during the year for chametz, and therefore you can't place something else there on Pesach. We also learned finally that klei cheres which are covered with glass, they are like lecheres. The Ramah says the minhag is not to use glazed earthenware and ceramic, even if it's new. But the Ramah says that ein lehachmir rak b'makom haminhag. More on these halachos tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.